This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is hour number one of the G-Bag Nation, and welcome in on an overcast and kind of gloomy Monday afternoon right here. I do believe some storms are getting ready to hammer us. We're going to have thunder, lightning, quite a show.
Good, starting
tonight and continuing on through tomorrow. General, at your service. Welcome in. Thanks for making us part of your day. Hope you had a great weekend. There's Jeff Cavanaugh.
Hello.
How the heck are you?
I'm all right. I just found out. Did you know that the moon every year is getting about the width of two fingers further away from us?
Oh, really?
It's distancing from Earth. Yeah, about two finger widths a year.
Good to know. Yeah. I could feel its gravitational pull a little less, you know, compared to 2020. I was wondering why.
That would make sense, yeah. I found myself weighing less, you know, because same thing.
Indeed. Yeah.
Scale numbers going
I like
down.
Your Rangers OU hat. Always love when they combo up with the universities. Brian brought us over there in a Rangers hoodie. That's like the official Rangers hoodie that the managers wear, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, that's
and
a nice one.
You know me, I'm gonna beg, borrow, and steal. So I kind of bartered along some things.
Hey,
you know?
How'd you get a free hoodie?
You kind of got to know folk, you know?
You're the guy who knows folk. Broke into the facility.
I was going to get us all hoodies.
What do you
think
he was in there for?
I was trying to get, if we'd have gone back, I'd have got us some hats, maybe a couple bullpen jackets, you know?
Yeah.
Bootleg.
Just
got
to know how to ask for it.
I got giveaway stuff. You're wearing a $140 hoodie. That's a nice hoodie.
It is nice.
I just kind of reached out to somebody, and they were nice enough to put one in the mail.
Rangers gear more popular around town here after, what is that, three series victories?
Yeah,
getting back to
that?
500.
Yeah.
Lucius Alexander over there in the Pimp Cup, and a happy Monday to you, sir.
Yeah, what's up, man? How you doing?
Doing good. Looking forward to that G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30 right here, the best audio curated by Lucius Alexander. Mm-hmm. Luca tossed with a flagrant foul karate crotch chop. I think that's what you'd call that, right? A karate crotch chop?
I would call that a spinning back fist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like an MMA, when you punch this way.
Yeah.
I would call that a spinning back fist.
Yeah, he dropped the hammer on him.
So, like, as soon as they showed the replay, I was like, oh, he's getting ejected. And all the Maverick fans were like, what are you talking about? And I was like, we punched him.
Yeah.
And sports do weird things to people.
So in basketball, when a guy comes up behind you and you're fighting for a rebound, there's lots of hand fighting.
There is.
I think Luka was ejected because a turn came with it. I think the turn came, though, because Colin Sexton, like, rammed into him. That was dang near like a fighting ram. You know, like you don't respect the position I'm holding. You think you're just going to blow into my back and push me away? Like, I think Luka turned startled like, nobody would hit me like that unless they want to fight. I think in the quarter second of Luka Doncic's response, that's what that was. Now, the retaliation deserves an ejection.
Correct.
But I sort of understood why Luka turned like that. Like, dude, get off of me. You got to be kidding me, bro. Just running into me like this?
Yeah. I've done it before. So
that type of spinning punch?
Yeah, I've done the spinning back fist before as retaliation.
Where'd
to
you land
someone
it?
Doing that? Chest.
Ooh.
But that doesn't make it okay. Like
that would have been the heart punch.
Okay. Yeah. I should have been thrown out of the game I was in, but nobody saw it. So like that's the thing is yes, that was his response to Sexton, who I believe thought his teammate was about to fire a three, trying to get position kind of violently and like at the back of Luka's hip. But yeah, you react. If that is how you react to that, you will get ejected from every basketball game. All of them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and he did, especially if they catch it like that. Calm down, Gavin, out of the 214. Okay. Elbow to the kidney 817. See, that's what I'm talking about. The guy, you know, I think was instantly reacting. And he said after the game, you know, watching it on video, that's fine, but I didn't have really any intent of it. And I, you know, Colin Sexton even talked about it after the game a little bit as well, like that kind of fighting underneath the basket. It's pretty common.
Yeah.
I do wonder if, you know, the officials looked at it and decided, you know, here's Luka. He's always such a hot temper kind of guy. And maybe they're starting to look at him with a little bit less patience. And maybe that could have played into it. But I do want to say this, you know, between the other players and the refs, if you're going to take your frustration out on somebody, take it out on the other players. Yeah. You know, if you're disappointed that you missed a shot or you're not getting a call, go ahead, be that guy. I would much rather you see you getting physical and maybe trying to intimidate other people with your size and letting it be known you're not going to get pushed around at all. And if somebody wants to push me around, number one, I'm a superstar, so eventually the refs are going to protect me. But also, you're going to be looking at a very quick retaliation from me. And I think early in a player's career, you know, investing in that kind of stuff is it's a really good idea.
Like, maybe if you were doing it with that purpose in mind, but I think in that case, that was just another example of his emotional reaction in the moment, which that is potentially problematic. Like, it's not like he's done this a bunch, but players are going to see that. There's going to be players on other teams that are going to be like, oh, if I bump him pre-rebound to try to box out,
that's what I thought.
Me?
Yeah.
Can I get him thrown out?
I thought it was kind of a heady play by Sexton to do what he did, but knowing that maybe that Luka might retaliate that way. Or, you know, do something to maybe get him kicked out of the game. It really didn't matter much. Cleveland was never in that game. But at least it for a while there, you're like, oh, Luka's out. The first thing I thought of was like, okay, this doesn't count as a technical,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's not a T, is it?
I didn't care about him hitting the guy. I just cared about, okay, am I going to lose Luka now for another game?
Yeah.
And it was like, no, that doesn't happen that way. But I think players understand that they can maybe get under Luka's skin a little bit and get him out of a game. It might have been a tactic that Sexton really doesn't want to talk about, but he's like, listen, if I could push this guy a little bit, maybe we get him bounced, and they sure did.
Get him complaining to the refs about me, yeah, get a tech thrown. Yeah. Maybe that was part of the approach. Maybe it was just all incidental contact, you know? I don't think of Colin Sexton as a dirty type of player. Yeah. He's a really good player. But sometimes when you're coming around and you're thinking, oh, I got to get under this basket right now, and you glance the other way, all of a sudden you're right on top of the guy before you know it. And basketball is such a fast game that you can run into people. 682 says that was more of a get off me swing, not a direct punch to the junk.
Kind of. Because, like, those things do happen in basketball.
They do.
If you've got a hand in your back or a form in your back, like, you'll go downward where it's like, bow, and it's like, get the hand off you. That one didn't go down, though. That one was at him.
He knew what he was doing.
That was a spinning back fist.
Yeah.
With half a spin.
817, I hope Luka keeps complaining, and then in the playoffs he just doesn't say anything and is just quiet just to make the refs mad that they can't call a tech on him.
That'll teach him.
Yeah.
That'll teach him.
817, he's already the biggest crybaby in the league, and now he's going to add dirty moves to his game. I don't think that's dirty. You know, if somebody runs into you and you turn around and say, hey, if you want to do that, let's fight. That's what happens in basketball all of the time. And if you don't have that kind of reaction, then you get the reputation as a pushover, and you don't want that to happen either. All righty. So, you know, I think that's one of the talking points, but I think the good news is after Friday going into this two-game series, we talked about, and Jeff even threw down the gauntlet, how important it was going to be to take advantage of these opportunities, and they did exactly that. They just continued to take care of business in a big way, and now they find themselves with a magic number of 2. So they're going to avoid this play-in, and that's great.
So Cuban will be a big fan of the play-in here in a couple of days. Yeah. He'll be a really big proponent.
It's not that bad after all.
I've been thinking about it, and this play-in thing is a wonderful idea.
Brings excitement to the game. That's what we're looking for, excitement. Yeah.
At the moment, you would be getting a LeBron versus Steph in the 7-8, and you would be getting Ja Morant and DeRozan in the 9-10. While Zion is still scrapping and clawing and trying to get to 10. But, man, it couldn't work out better for the league.
No.
To have the play-in potentially involve LeBron James and Steph Curry.
Oh, my gosh.
LeBron can hate it all he wants.
Right.
The league is going to love it. I heard Choppy this morning. I think I agree with him. If Lakers-Warriors is a play-in game, it might be the highest-rated non-finals game
of
the year.
Yeah.
Like, imagine that. The Lakers and LeBron James against Steph Curry in a win or almost go home, that'll be incredible drama.
What if the Lakers were to lose in that game?
Well, then he would have to go play Ja Morant.
That's what I'm saying. Now, another, anytime you see, maybe the Lakers facing elimination would be a big game, too.
Oh, yeah, okay. That would be juicy.
Okay, another random thing that comes out of the weekend that I want to ask you guys.
Uh-huh.
You sure that when this year is over that you're moving on from Tim Hardaway Jr.?
He's been playing great, man. I had that noted. Let me see his number. Averaging 22 points in the month of May, over 50% from three.
Yeah.
He has four turnovers for the entire month.
Luka gets 5 to 6 a night.
Yeah.
But that's a little different amount of ball handling. Like, would the better way to move forward find a way to get rid of KP, keep Hardaway, and add a free agent?
The problem they're running into right now is even thinking about, yes, your thought was big picture, but right now Rick and them are in a situation where they're having guys come back, and how do you keep him on the bench? That's the discussion they're having amongst themselves, is like, can we afford to bring him off the bench? Rick's like, I don't know if we can do that. So you got some guys coming back. He's kind of like, we'll see. That's going to be a difficult decision for the Mavs to have to make here in the coming days.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. I feel like this is one of those spots where free agency is going to start, and Tim's going to be getting offers. Yeah. And he's going to come to you and say, hey, you know, I'm about ready to leave. And you're like, man, I'm working on this player and that player. Can you give me 72 hours? And he's going to say, no, I have to take the best offer for myself. So it's rare you can get players to wait, because if this doesn't come through, I mean, that's just pride comes into it and everything. And he's going to be looking for the best opportunity for himself, the playing career, the finances. It all sets up for him to want that. But it's entirely possible the Mavs shop that. What is it going to be? Between $20 and $34 million, depending on how all the opt-outs come together. And if you shop that and can't get a better player than Tim Hardaway Jr., that would be massively disappointing, to go through another offseason and not be able to improve your roster. You got Luke after 2 years. Okay, we got Porzingis. The guys are healthy. Let's do it. Okay, well, you know, we got James Johnson here. We moved off of Seth Curry. We brought in Josh, and it didn't work. Yeah. And if you go to another offseason and it doesn't work, now you're starting to drop the scenario that eventually Luka could leave, and you know, you could fiddle away a great player even more than you damn near did with Dirk.
All right, I'm NBA salary cap stupid. I know you have to match money during the season. In the offseason, do you have to do that, or can you trade KP and save money?
It's all salary cap dependent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you
same rules apply.
If you could get off of KP's money, you let Richardson go.
Richardson's got a player option, I believe.
Right. If he opts out of it, which, hey, he might opt into it. It's like $11 or $12 million. Yeah. Timmy's making 18 right now. And honestly, I think he's going to get a raise from somebody.
Yeah.
On that number. You could keep Timmy, not keep Josh. Get rid of KP and replace him with a different player. You'd have money then, right?
Yeah, you would have to move KP like around the draft before the next league year starts for essentially an already expired contract,
okay,
or some sort of a contract with a team option on it, so you can just totally part with it. It gets messy. You know, who would want Porzingis? And we're standing by, really. I keep refreshing. Do we have info yet?
He's going to speak in the next 3 minutes.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're going to go at him and Rick Carlisle will be speaking from Memphis at 2:15 Central.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, we're likely going to have takeaways from Porzingis and Carlisle talking here coming up at 2:20 or so, at the very latest, 2:30. But I think that one is massive. Why would you hold a press conference if for any other reason than to announce the season's over?
You're back? Said I'm going to play tomorrow or whatever. Okay.
Wouldn't you just say that?
So, that's what I was – because, okay – the way that
it hasn't came, spoken in 3 weeks, by the way, with the media.
The way it came to my attention was Brad Townsend,
yes,
Mavs beat writer,
uh-huh,
who was like, KP is going to address the media tomorrow. He tweeted it yesterday, and he was like, so I would imagine it means he's on the verge of a comeback.
Okay.
And I was like, and my first thought was your first thought was, really? Like, wouldn't you just have him play?
Yeah.
Wouldn't an announcement
Don't want to tip off the team the day before. It just doesn't make sense. It's not in the protocols.
Yeah, like my brain, it's more likely that KP is about to go up to the mic and say, I'm about to have surgery.
The way Brad reported that, maybe
he has information.
He got the info but wasn't able to totally break it, but he could hint towards it.
Maybe.
But if they were going to end the season, wouldn't Rick just come out and say that? I mean, wouldn't he just come out and tell everybody that, hey.
Maybe Porzingis wants to be the one to say it.
Okay,
you know,
that's fair enough.
But I think the things we're throwing out as we're workshopping
absolutely.
Could go either way. Yeah. As we're just trying to figure out what's most probable, and we're just a few minutes away.
Yeah.
As far as big picture takeaways, I mean, Cleveland's bad. A lot of these teams have been bad. It's been a long time since the Mavs have gone through a great stretch of the schedule and taken care of business or had a winning record. I think you go back to April 4th against Utah for their last good win, and I think that one was without Donovan Mitchell for the Jazz.
Yes.
So, like, their last three wins against contenders have been against LeBron-less Lakers, James Harden-less Nets, the Jazz without Donovan Mitchell. I don't know when their last really solid win was, but it's still hard to go any amount of time and stack up the level of wins like the Mavs have. So I think they have good momentum. It looks like their chemistry is better. They're obviously better defensively without Porzingis. And I think they're figuring out ways to not miss his offense as much, especially with THJ shooting the ball like that. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and just on the overall, they're 40-28. And you still do have the part of the season where they were 2-11, where they were missing a ton of dudes on the Rona run. So if they play 500 ball there, you are the, and 500 is underestimating the rest of their season, but you're the three seed.
Wow.
Like that's
okay.
That's a pretty good season.
Yeah, pretty nice
that's
job
a pretty
there.
Pretty good season.
Okay, we're going to come back and tell you what they are saying out there with Porzingis and why we're getting a press availability this afternoon. Then we'll get some baseball stuff in the G-Bag of the Day. It's coming up next on the Fan. Welcome back, Nation. Rick Carlisle talking to the media. He just updated the Porzingis situation. This segment is brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels at 214-333-3333. Jump online to truckwreck.com. What do we have, Jeff?
If all goes well, they expect or would like to see Porzingis play on Wednesday. They play Tuesday. He will be out on Tuesday and in on Wednesday, if all goes well.
Okay, in Memphis tomorrow, home to host the Pelicans on Wednesday. They got a little back-to-back situation going on there. Yeah, you know, that's a surprise. That's great. And Porzingis is going to talk here momentarily. I wonder what steady and significant progress means. We're getting the swelling down. Are we doing physical therapy? Are we strengthening the area? You know, how do you grade that, and then how do you trust that? I think at this point, now that the knee is involved as well, can give you total assurance.
Yeah, I expect him to come back for a game, maybe two.
Yeah.
Maybe three.
Well, you know, hopefully it can be a much longer run. This is kind of the pattern that we were in late last year in the bubble. And then, you know, once we got to the bubble playoffs, where it was like, well, we're hoping he's got this knee. And then all of a sudden it was like, yeah, I need surgery. I just hope he doesn't need another one of those.
Yeah. But they're getting better play from Powell,
yeah.
Which is, you know, everybody's kind of looked towards that as helping out the situation. And so, you know, and Rick even talked like post game last night, was like, hey, listen, the ball movement has been, I mean, maybe the best we've had all year. And that was without Luka being in the game and without KP being in the game.
Wait a minute. You want to trade Luka?
No, I'm just saying. Oh. I thought it was interesting that Rick said that. He goes, and maybe it's one of those things that's coach speak. You know, he's trying to prop everybody else up. But he says, man, he goes, this might have been the best we moved the ball all year. With the situation that they had last night. So
right on.
We'll see if that, again, that might be right. One of those things, just pumping his team up after his two-star players were not involved.
I mean, you get things moving in a Rick Carlisle offense, it's going to make the game look easy, and it did. And then on top of that, they defended. And then on top of that, they're playing a bad team. So
yeah,
they made it look easy, even though Luka was thrown out early in the second half. Rangers scored 24 runs over the weekend. We have John Daniels coming up at 4:20, and we look forward to talking with him. You know, they take 2 of 3 from the M's, 10-2 yesterday. They're back at 500. Garcia with a homer, 5 RBI. He's leading, is it rookies? Is he technically a rookie? He's leading them with, you know, tons of offensive production. So they'll visit the Giants tonight at 8:45. Tomorrow's game at 2:45 in the afternoon. So there will be no Nation tomorrow. But let me ask you, is this disrespectful of your 500 Rangers MLB power rankings on USA Today with this bad boy, guys? Red Sox number 1. Okay, Dodgers sliding. Let me see here. Where are the Rangers? I'm thinking probably not top half, of course.
Nah, you probably put him at 16 or 17, yeah. I would think.
Yeah, maybe 19. How about number 27?
That's disrespectful, yes.
Yeah.
You can't put him behind. You know what? I can't be a hypocrite.
It took three or four from the team that's number one.
That's okay. That's a fair ranking, Gavin.
And they're about
that's
to play
a fair ranking.
Why is that?
Because it reflects the way that I'm choosing to approach this Ranger season. It's a lot of fun. I'm having a great time. The games are incredible to watch and to listen to. And I refuse to budge my expectations that they're not going to be very good, because that's when you start getting mad at people. I'm just going to enjoy this gift.
Okay.
Being at 500 is great. I'm having a great time. It's lovely. And I refuse to move my expectations. So MLB.com and I, we're in lockstep. We're just trying to keep a positive mindset.
Hey, the less expectations you have, the happier you'll be. That's what I was told before.
See? Yep. See?
They are the beginning of suffering.
They are.
I'm not changing. I'm going to ask JD that, because when we talked to him early in the year, he was like, well, you know, honestly, wins and losses isn't what this season's about. And I'll be like, all right, well, now you're 36 in and you're 500, starting to care a little bit.
Like, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but like a week and a half ago, they beat the number one Red
Sox.
They did.
Yeah. They did. Three out of four.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're owning MLB's best record at 22-13. They're on top. Mm-hmm. Giants number two. Cards and Athletics tied for number three. Plenty of respect for those guys. I think they're just refusing to believe, and that's fair. You know, I'm refusing to believe a little bit myself.
Smart play. Just enjoy the good stuff.
So how many more games before you're like, you know what? They do deserve to maybe be inside the top 20. What do you need, another 50? I mean, we've been talking about this for 3 weeks now.
30 more games.
30 more games. All right.
And then you're going to extend that. I know exactly what you're going to do.
Yeah, I'll extend it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm staying. This is great. For me, this is great. If you start going, hey, they should be number 15. And we should start talking about the wild card. Well, get ready, because you're going to get real mad later. I ain't doing it.
Did you feel like you did that with the Mavs?
Man, I don't know what I did with the Mavs. We've
ridden the roller coaster with the Mavs this year.
Yeah, that's not as much fun.
No,
I'm enjoying the hell out of the Rangers.
You're trying to fire Dodo.
Yeah, I did try to fire. No, I tried to upgrade Dodo. You know,
quote unquote upgrade.
He can stay around. Yeah.
I think you need to talk to your therapist about this, bro.
Well,
I'll talk to him Friday. What, about wanting to be positive about my Rangers?
Yeah, about the lack of commitment issues on these Rangers. You're not willing to, like, actually believe in them.
I'm committed. I believe in the long-term future now. We're starting to get some... hell. Somebody has to yell at me with this. That's how it works.
I'm just playing with you.
I love Adolis Garcia.
It's a lot of fun.
He's
yeah.
my favorite player right now. I know it's not technically a walk-off, but I'm going to call it a walk-off anyway. Yeah. Not the last game, but two ago.
Yeah.
Went in the top of the ninth. Yeah.
Holy jeez.
And you're up by two, and he's like, I'm going to come catch this. I don't think I can get there. Oh, God, I'm going to slow down. And it bounces and hits him, and one run scores, and the second one's rounding, and he's like, rocket, engage, yeah. Throws him out at the plate. I'm calling that a top of the ninth walk-off throw.
What about the play by Heim? Hell
of a throw.
Backhanded and turn and tag.
Yeah, yeah. Jamie Newberg pointed out on the Twitter the still frame of Heim after applying the tag when he's like pumping his fist. He's like, if this is Pudge 25 years ago, like, this picture would be remembered forever.
Yeah.
But it's just a random regular season game. But
you'd pay $9 for the pack of that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
The Heim picture.
Dude, maybe. They're so much fun. Yeah. And I refuse to change my expectations. And I refuse to look, they're putting the pressure on themselves. Like, they're mad at everybody like me who's like, oh, nobody believes in us? Correct. I don't believe that you're like a wild card
but
contender,
can you be a
or you're
phony
gonna finish
fan like
over
that?
A what?
Can you be a phony fan like that? Don't you? Aren't you?
No.
Are you doing this?
No. That's what people got wrong about this. Look, you get to do sports your way.
Okay.
Gavin gets to do sports his way. Lucius can do it his way.
I'm okay with that.
My way with these Rangers is, I know how it ends. I'm going to enjoy the journey.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same thing with the Cowboys from now on. After a quarter century, I finally learned the lesson.
Just enjoy the journey.
They ain't going to win. Maybe we make the playoffs. Wouldn't that be a doozy?
Cowboys are going 8-9. And we'll see.
All right.
Let's just enjoy the building process.
It is time now for the G-Bag of the Day, curated by Lucius Alexander. And a good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you remember Mad TV? There was a skit called Lowered Expectations, a little dating skit.
Yeah.
Lowered Expectations. Why is the dad laughing at that one?
It's me, the Rangers.
You got to get your expectations super low. You're going out on some of these dates after a social media flirtation. Whew. You have that look on your face that you just can't hide, right?
Oh, man, you've been killing me with them angles, girl. This is not really you. You don't look like the pig.
Yeah, how old is this picture over here, honey?
Yeah, what is this? 91 on the back?
Yeah.
Long snapper Thomas Fletcher. What is this? Day number four?
He's looking for five.
He's looking for five.
He's got to be going for five right here. Happy to have a job in Carolina. Got drafted.
Hey, Fletch, what's up, bro?
What's up, brother?
You coming or what?
Trying to figure it out right now.
No. I just drafted you. You coming or what?
Are you kidding?
Yeah, bro.
No, you did not.
Yeah. Welcome to Carolina.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man. Welcome to the Carolina Panthers.
Dude, chill out, brother. Dude, I cannot wait to help you win, man.
I love it.
You'll be barely helping.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Deep snappers can only hurt.
Yeah.
Fletcher, you can be good in Carolina.
Dude, let's go, baby.
You ready, man? You ready?
Are you kidding me? Am I ready? I'll walk my happy ass to Carolina right now, dude.
You walking?
If you want me to, I'll crawl on my hands and knees, bro.
We'll get you an escort here, okay?
Golly.
Ready?
Decided to play the only position in football that you can practice your way to the league. You know?
That's awesome, man. I wish I would have never neglected the kicker situation like I did. Mm-hmm. I should have been over there stretching out, trying to figure out how to get some accuracy with this leg.
It can also pay your way through college.
Yes, it can.
Yeah, grow your hair long.
It can pay your way through college.
Get some tattoos and brand yourself as a kicker. There he is, the kicker! You walk out there, do something crazy, a little flip.
Yeah.
You just got to nail your kicks.
And you got to put a little bit on it, you know, a little shtick. Maybe wear a cape out there.
You got to do something.
Cup your ear.
A cape on your shoe.
Yeah.
Come on, fam, you got to do something, man.
You
missed that opportunity.
Yeah, old Thomas Fletch, boy, he was surprised it got him through college, but he was completely stunned.
Yeah. Dude, bro, what? You want to give me a job?
If you're good enough, you get the NFL doing this.
If I could do it all over again, I wouldn't have played anything, but hey.
Deep snapper?
We're deep snapping all day because we're getting to the league.
All day.
I'm going the LP route.
LPGA?
Full pension.
Heck of a run.
Good for you,
20-year career.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Ride that bench, bro. There's nothing wrong with it, as long as they're paying.
Homie made $15 million, $20 million.
You got a koi pond.
They can't even push you down anymore. You're protected there.
Get out of here. I got a koi pond, fam. What is your life about? Let's see. Construction guy.
Yes, sir.
Is at Zoom Court. Did you know
construction
court?
Construction guy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he's a construction guy. He's at a construction site, in fact, at the time. Okay. And he has to show up in court for some traffic tickets or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So court is on Zoom nowadays because of the pandemic. My man is wearing a T-shirt because he's at work. Uh-huh. The judge is not a fan of you wearing a T-shirt in my courtroom, even though it's
not in your courtroom.
You're at work. I'm not a big fan of that, the judge says. But somebody has this guy's back. You hear it.
And I don't do T-shirts in my courtroom.
I'm at a
I don't care where you're at. You're in my courtroom right now. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, when you come to court, you dress for court. Because in my court, if you don't dress for court, I'm going to dress you. Which means I send you Wayne County Jail, and they dress you. Now, do I have to do that?
No, sir.
That's bold, because it's just court, and we all at home.
I suggest you shut your mouth and not be involved in this case, or you're going to end up locked up.
That's up.
Wow. Holy cow.
I think I support her.
That's something that judge needs to hear. He needs to just chill all the way out. Yeah. I'm actually, you know what? She's probably in jail right now, but that judge needs to hear that and just cool it out, bro.
Got some professions where you assume that just because I'm in this profession that F you, I am God.
I love finding judges like that on the internet and playing it for Dawson because it gets him upset.
You got to really be kidding me.
I've been doing it for years.
How about showing some judgment on your own character, bro? Who else is a challenge?
He wouldn't even listen to him, man. My man said, I'm at work. I'm at my construction site right now trying to make a living for my family.
Hey, all power corrupts absolutely, doesn't it? Absolute power. It does, man. You know, go straight to your head.
Sorry.
You're good.
How about a guy that jumped off a bridge in Maryland to save a baby?
What?
Whoa. Saved the baby, too. Jumped off a bridge, bro.
Baby in some water?
Yes. Okay. The baby was floating on his back.
When I looked over, I saw the car seat and some other items, and then about 6 feet away from the car seat was a little girl. She was on her back, completely floating, head completely out of the water, arms moving, legs kicking, and a little pink dress. Lifted her out of the water and looked at her. Her mouth was open, her eyes were semi-open, and then I put her against my shoulder very high and aggressively pat her on the back, and within seconds she spit up a bunch of water.
I had to go over and shake his hand. I had to see who took the jump and made the plunge, for lack of a better term, to save this child. Without his heroism, she wouldn't be here.
Wow.
Yeah.
How'd the baby end up in the water?
There was an accident, and the baby was flown from the SUV, fell into the water. My man seen all of this and was like, reaction.
And he's not mom or dad?
No, he's not mom or dad.
Wow.
How did you let somebody beat you to the water?
They might have been injured.
Well, mom and dad were probably in the accident.
You think they were banged up?
Well, airbags, you know. Pop out of there. Let's go.
Jumped off a bridge to save a baby. I'd do that. I think I would do that, no problem. Yeah. Pretty good swim. I like jumping off bridges, too. Yeah. You know, give me a good 40, 50-foot drop. Get the adrenaline pumping.
What if it was a...
The biggest problem would be that my cannonball would sink the baby before I could save him.
Oh, you would jump in a cannonball?
Well, I would try to pencil dive it, you know?
Can opener, not the can opener?
No, that's not a time for the can opener.
You see me on camera trying to take my shoes off and everything, put them to the side.
Wallet, phone.
Hey.
Watch this for me. I'm about to jump and save that baby.
Man, let me give some love to my passed away father-in-law a couple of years ago, Maurice. He was down in East Texas. This was like 3 years ago, about a year before he passed. He comes around a corner, and a lady had gone off the side of the road and landed in a creek upside down.
Uh-oh.
And he gets out of his car and runs down in there. There's like water moccasins and stuff coming in there. He was like, get out of my way. Mm-mm. Gets down in the water, pulls her out of her seatbelt, and like yanks her out right as the paramedics are showing up. He's like, got it done for you guys.
There you go.
Pretty sure you got it from here.
Did the hard work. Here you go.
Yeah, did he charge?
No,
I sent the invoice to the emergency. Like, hey, man.
Yeah, that's about $20,000 worth of work right there. Yeah, well, my check. Is it Thomas Fletcher, drafted to be the long snapper in Carolina? Construction guy in a Zoom court? Or is it a guy jumped off a bridge, saved a baby? Go with, that's a good one. I'm going to go with the lady in court, actually.
Yeah, long snapper Thomas Fletcher. I think you earned it, sir.
Okay, we're tied at one, Brian.
Jumping off the bridge.
Jeffrey. Three-way tie at Uno.
Voting for the lady in court.
By a score of 2-1.
F-U-B.
And your new G-Bag of the Day champion. Your title does not give you any license to be that bad of a human being. All right, tune in tomorrow, 2:20. See if they can make it to 2 in pursuit of 5. Jeff, where are we going? Brian, where are we going next? Sorry, yeah, Krusty's Corner.
Krusty's Corner. I've got some news about your quarterback we need to talk about next.
All right, welcome back, Nation. Every day at this time, it is time for Brian Broaddus and Krusty's Corner. And then here he is, Broaddus.
Thank you very much, General. This week, was it story last week that we saw where Dak was talking about that everything's good and all that?
Yeah, getting close. Good to go. Can play right now.
Yeah, and so I reached out this weekend and talked to some people that would further know that situation, maybe give us a little bit of a timeline. What we could see from Dak. So before I get started with Krusty's Corner, I want to get into that if I could. My guys were telling me, and Dak mentioned this, he said, yeah, he's absolutely ready to play. And my guys were telling me, he says, the cutting, the dropping, the planting, the play action, the rollout, doing everything. So there's no limitations on what they're doing right now with him to try and get him ready for the season. Now, when you start to talk about timelines, we've got like OTAs and stuff, and hopefully we'll get an opportunity to go to the OTAs and mini camps and things like that. But it appears that in the 7-on-7 stuff and drill stuff, they're going to let him do things, but they're not going to let him do any team things. So we won't see Dak until we get out to Oxnard doing team things as it stands right now. So
he's making great progress, and if you had to play a game for the fate of the universe, he would play in it, but he's not fully recovered. He's just still going.
It sounded like to me, just in talking to the folks out there, though, that they were really encouraged by, you know, everything that was going on. But the Cowboys will always err on the side of caution when they, you know, they will, and they, we've seen them do it during training camp too, where they won't play a guy, you know, won't practice a guy during training camp. But I was encouraged by the fact that he's able to do everything here so far. But I was hoping, yeah, maybe we'll get to see him a little bit of the OTAs and the mini camps.
7-on-7 is good enough. I mean, I think that's great, you know, considering a significant surgery happened in December.
Yeah.
A surgery that, depending on, you know, which side of it you want to buy into, was not just a cleanup, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe it was a result of them going a little bit too hard in the attempted comeback. So on the other side of that, like using extra caution, listen, by this point in your career, the offense isn't changing much. You've been working with Kellen for a long time. You know, I think it's kind of a luxury that you have an experienced quarterback, and it's not really that important that he's all that involved. You just got to get to, you know, week one, I think, and they're going to be fine as long as this line is healthy.
Jeff, you're acting like you're not buying any of this stuff at all.
No, I think he's on track. And I think that, look, everybody says optimistic things. Mm-hmm. But if you were like, hey, he had an injury, he had the surgery, and he's literally 100% recovered, then he would be 100% going. He's right. Not 100% going because he's not 100% recovered. And that's fine as long as he's ready to go when it's time to go.
I wonder if they're holding him back just for precautionary reasons. That they're like, okay, yeah, he's 100%, but we're just holding it back because we want to just
get- I would buy that if Tyron Smith doesn't do team and Lyle Collins doesn't do team. If none of the guys who are coming off of an injury do team stuff, then I would buy it. But if he's the only one, sure, the quarterback's special, but it's for a reason.
Yeah, and that's an injury that is insane to try to heal.
Yeah.
You know, those ligaments and tendons, very, very sensitive, can go the wrong way very, very easily. I would have been very, very nervous from the team and the quarterback's perspective, having to go back in there. So, yes, you know, I would be willing to wait as long as possible to get to 100%. Because a re-breaking of those ligaments and tendons, you sure. know, what they have to do to get those to remesh together, mm-hmm. they heat them up, you know, like a piece of bacon and overlap them. And then they let it heal and scab up, and then they kind of come back together and they're totally solidified. But every time you do that, the integrity of that entire ligament and tendon area, it has changed. It's affected. It's not 100% anymore, you know? So from my perspective, you know, dealing with foot and ankle stuff really for my entire adult life now has given me a tremendous amount of respect for how important it would have been for me to find the right doctor. And to do everything and to not try to go back and play basketball. My left knee is jacked because after about 5 months of that, I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do paintball. And when I got pinned down in a location and decided to get up and sprint away, I hyperextended my knee now because I didn't have enough muscle to prevent it from getting absolutely crazy, right? So when I tried to take off, it totally extended and didn't have the ability to flex and all that. Mm-hmm. And my knee was killing me for 4 months. I was damn sure I had done something massive structurally wrong to my knee. So, you know, and obviously he's a pro athlete, but with that pro athlete, you get all of that great care and attention to detail and wisdom, right? And daily interaction with those professionals that I should have been getting if I wanted any chance of having a middle-aged sports career, which I don't. I screwed it up.
Sure.
But I want Dak to take as much time as possible. I do call BS. And I think him and his people are on this, oh, look at me, I'm 100% tour, yeah. when it's BS because of the things that were said about him after he messed up and re-injured himself.
You think they were covering from something that they should have told us in the first place? Or
I don't think they have to tell anybody anything about your medical situation.
Sure.
I just think in sports, the athletes and the teams have a vested interest in everything being fine with my health, right? Right. I don't want to put out the idea that I'm fragile, and we don't want to put out the idea.
A contract negotiation that they were dealing with too, right?
Yeah. You know, and things were found out that they didn't want found out that usually doesn't, but it's such a big story. He's the number one TV star in all of America. That's what the Cowboys are, and that's what Dak is. So all of that information eventually came to bear. They didn't like it, and they've been on a media tour every couple of weeks trying to say I'm 100%. You're not 100%, right? Otherwise, you would be doing everything at OTAs and minicamp. You know, coming off a season where you barely played, that's what guys would do. Now, you don't have to be honest and transparent, but I think people paying attention to the trajectory of sports injuries over the long term know this is a little fishy. And it's weird that every time it's like, oh, yeah, I'm 100%. I could play right now. No, you can't. Because if you could, you would be going out and doing everything in these practices to get your team back on the right track.
Nobody wants to tell the truth.
Yeah, it's fine. You know, it's a sensitive situation. We don't have to know. But when you don't want to tell us the truth and we find out the truth or have honest conversations on the radio, don't be offended, right? You're doing your thing, which is to protect you. What is the commodity on radio is honest conversation and information. That's what fans want more and more of.
Sure.
So don't get offended when we find out stuff and talk about it and then point out the inconsistencies of your story.
I just, like I said, maybe it's because of my relationship with the people, but I totally understand what you're saying. I'm seeing it now in a different light, being on this side of it, but having the relationship with people within the organization.
Yeah.
And I understand why people are skeptical. I really do. I'm just, like I say,
Listen closely when Dak talks. He never says he's 100%. He never says it.
Well, no,
He says, I'm feeling good. And he says, I could play if we had a game.
Sure.
But he never says he's 100% because he's not. As long as he is by camp in the season, it won't matter. And I don't think it'll matter at all. But he's not.
If he didn't practice OTAs at all, that doesn't bother you. But if he's practicing in training camp, does it make you feel better about the situation? Or are you still skeptical about the
him? Honestly, like this... This whole thing, if Mike didn't find out the information that he found out, then we'd never have to do this because they never would have released the information that he had a second surgery when they screwed up and they had to go back and redo things.
Right.
But anyway, if none of that happens, then we never end up here having these conversations and we can just say, hey, at training camp when he's practicing and it's good, it's good. And then we go play football.
Right.
And that's the only thing that really matters. Mm-hmm. But it's become a thing, I think, because so many people get mad at Mike and then it's like,
I think Mike's absolutely right. That's the problem that I run into is I respect what Mike is saying and then I dealt with these guys for the last 14 years on stuff. So I kind of get caught in between things.
Right.
But to me, the timeline that I wanted to get out there was the fact that it looks like that he's not going to participate in the OTAs unless it's a 7-on-7 situation, and then we'll see him for the full teamwork and training camp and stuff like that. So I think that's really the most important thing that we take from all that.
Very good. Always appreciate those inside words and angles from Brian Broaddus, and you get them daily at 240 Krusty's Corner. Not tomorrow. Of course, you're going to have Rangers baseball. First pitch happening about 2:45 tomorrow afternoon. Okay, we shall return. And when we do, what's the subject matter look like? Cowboys Twitter. Do they have an L-word problem on defense? It is next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.